Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Taylor. We are on Blog Talk Radio. We've got studio and it's working 2 days in a row. I don't believe it. Cripes, you know, what are they doing? And we're here because we've got a little program that we run every week when, of course, that is when the studio's up and running. It's a poetry program. You can find us on allpoetry.com. You can get yourself to a free membership, get yourself to a group called Team of Voices. That's our name. And at the door will be none other than Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm well. And the voice we just heard was Shout Even Shy from the lovely Faroe Islands. And she sang and did the guitar. And the lyrics that she chose were none other than those of Jay Hatter. Hi, Hatter. How are you?
Yeah, I'm okay, Hippie. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Hatter.
Excellent. So we're here with a little show. Goes for an hour or so, depending on how we're going. And we roll from there. And we've got it's an open poetry show. So what we have the members of the Team of Voices and they go and put their poems on the board, and you can follow them if you're a member of the group. If not, you can just listen along. You can, of course, call in if you do have a poem you want to go and recite yourself. It's always best to hear a poem and the words and the voice of the poet who wrote it. That guest calling line is plus one for the US, 646-668-2837. Otherwise, we're here on Blog Talk Radio, and surprisingly enough, Hatter, I think it's been 2 or 3 days, and we actually have a studio. It's crazy.
I know.
You know?
How about that? Yeah.
It's, you know, we've had all sorts of difficulty keeping this piece of technology up and running. You wouldn't think, but apparently it's hard. And it's just good to be able to do a few shows in a row, which is what we like to do. So anyways, here we are. And I was going to start off proceeding by reading a poem by Lorient Montanel about water. Always writes exceptionally well, and I just really like this poem. So thank you for sharing it. It goes a little bit like this. It's called Water. If my mind was full of abstract thoughts with no substance, then its natural form would be shapeless like water. Thus, if the water of rain fills an empty ravine, it would become crystallized and profound in depth. And when the water from the ravine flows onto the bluish water of the sea, the water would flow in ripples of currents till the water reaches the edge of the land. I allow my thought of the water to be transparent and dare to wait for the rain to fill the ravine with water. Then the water that pours would flow from one point to the other according to the rain. Water has no shape, no boundary, for it is existential. Therefore, end existential and shapeless, then its appearance is the thought I apply to its shape. End poem. See, that's a funky start. Deb, what did you think of Lorient and his thinkings and musings on water?
Well, for starters, I like the way it sits on the page as far as the look. It's got like this flow going down. And so many, which one do I pick? Thus in the water of rain fills an empty ravine, it would become chrysalis and profound in depth.
Yep.
And when the water from the ravine flows into the bluish water of the sea, the water would flow in ripples. Just the descriptions, you could just sit back and close your eyes and listen to you read his work, and I could see the scene that he created with his words. And at the end, therefore, if water is, in the end, existential and shapeless, then its appearance is the thought I apply to its shape. And then it forces me to look at the shape of the poem again. So I think this is pretty clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. So, Hatter, what did you think of that piece?
I agree with Deb. But the last line, then its appearance is the thought I apply to its shape. Shapeless. Am I not getting it? I'm just not getting it. Is it a heavy metaphor, an abstract metaphor type? Or does it make sense?
It could be.
It doesn't have to make sense.
I mean, I think it could be, but I think it stands on its own as a sort of description of the fluidness of water and the fact that it has sort of a shape, but no real shape, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so like air, you know, who knows? Yeah, I love passages that make you think, and that this one surely does.
Yeah.
The water really flows into the bluish water of the sea. The water would flow in ripples, the currents, and the water reaches the edge of the land. That's an observation. Yeah, this is well thought out.
It is. And I'm right down to the shape, because they're the same. Yeah.
Oh, is there a shape? Because I'm on my phone. Is there a shape that I'm missing?
Yeah. It has a shape on the page as well. That's kind of
And won a couple medals too. Congratulations.
Yeah. No, it has. So, okie doke. Well, I have a poem that's been sent to me from Poeta de Cabra. Poeta, this is a poem about him moving within Australia and moving to Geelong, which is a place that's about 50 miles down the coast from where I am now. And it is called Not Very Thoughtful, and it goes a little bit like this. Spring in Geelong, wet and cool, never before felt so miserable, where the gods are so confused, and to top it off, I've lost the muse. Usually the beach and the bright blue sea brings my muse straight back to me. Sun won't shine, all I can do is cry. Even an umbrella can't keep me dry. Can't see very far out in the bay due to the mist and fog. Pen and paper is soaked and my laptop's waterlogged. If I said I wasn't missing the sun, I'd certainly be lying. There are floods everywhere. The Barwon again is rising. She said, move to Geelong, enjoy the sun and sea. Funny, but never before. And my sweetheart lied to me. Moved here from South Australia, was actually highly emoted, but spent the first 2 years dodging and weaving COVID. I guess everyone is hoping that soon the dreaded rain ends, and meanwhile I'll sit here alone on the beach with all my friends. Poor old sun can't find its way through the clouds that hover. Seems too the fish are hiding and seagulls are looking for cover. So wet the worms are drowning, the garden is covered in slugs. Only boats moving in the bay are a couple of tugs. Decided to try and enjoy the beach, not getting any younger. Can't handle getting wet, but not any lightning and thunder. They say getting wet and cold isn't too good for my health. Looking at all the positives now, I have the beach to myself. Could stay at home, I guess, but hell, that would be boring, watching Netflix or Stan with missus and dog snoring. So I got up this morning and gathered my thoughts, put on thongs, a t-shirt, a pair of board shorts. The weather's so bad, actually causing accidents with trains, and here I am dodging puddles and getting chill bones. I'm back on the beach, with wind and rain in my face, I look to the weather gods and shout, what a disgrace. The only things liking the weather are weeds that grow faster and three times a fortnight have to mow the grass. Between rain and COVID, no sport for the kids. Still, I like to say positive, wouldn't be dead for quids. Seems stupid, really, as for the sun I do yearn. Because no doubt I'll complain then about heat and sunburn. Who cares if it's raining? If the weeds do thrive, I'm going to get my news back. Thank God I'm alive. Weather and COVID can cause even a good Christian to curse. I have, myself, I've decided to move on. Things could be a hell of a lot worse. The weather gods have been miserable, not at all thoughtful. Remember, though, under each rainbow, there could be a pothole. Ken poem. There you go, Hatter. It's an epic rhyming poem. 464 words.
It flowed real well. You read it really well. Let me ask you a question. The damage to generations, the younger generations, missing school. Do your country have a projection of how far back the kids were sent? I mean, like they're saying, what a bad thing it was, they're down, you know, behind 1 year of education or 2 years of education, anything like that.
Did
you set your schools down?
Sorry, Hannah, go ahead, sorry.
Did Australia shut the schools down, like the United States?
No. No, no, we haven't.
Okay.
We haven't been in a position where we've had to shut schools. No.
Because you mentioned the no kids playing between rain and COVID, no sport for the kids. I guess you're speaking of organized, as in school sports. But I noticed the other day, and it's even gotten worse. You don't see any kids on bikes anymore. You don't see kids going to school to shoot hoops. It's a different world.
Yeah,
and it can't be better.
I think out of the world's, you can pine for the past a little bit, and that's what Poeta was doing a little bit in his poem. But I think we have to recognize that, things have changed and times have changed, and some of those things we look at and we think, well, that could be better or that could be worse. But the truth is that things have changed, and whether it's here or whether it's in the States, and we just have to embrace what's different rather than what it was when we were kids.
It's funny how everybody likes to jump on how bad it is and how the causes and the effects and how negative it is, instead of saying we need to just buck up and get it done and be positive about it.
Point a finger
at somebody else and say it's your fault. They just need to shut the hell up. Let's go from here and get something positive going. I mean, if you sit and bitch about it forever, it stays there forever like it was. So.
Yeah, it's always been the case. Things just keep on moving on and change, Hatter, and I think that's the case here too. So, Deb, did you want to say a few words about Poeta's piece?
Yeah, for one thing, it is a really emotional poem for him, and how sometimes you wait for some twist. But that aside, from the first stanza, the wet, cool, never before felt so miserable, the weather gods are confused, and to top it off, I lost my muse. And it's like, for a second there, I was thinking New Jersey because we're well into May, and it was cold yesterday. Anyway, through the rest of the poem, with the visuals and the emotions that he puts here for us, he did an amazing job of explaining those days where it's miserable outside and you don't know why, but you can't get out of a particular mood and your muse isn't doing anything for you. And it's just, it had that kind of tone to it. So I got up this morning and gathered my thoughts, put on thongs, a t-shirt, and a pair of board shorts. And I had to laugh for a minute because thongs are different in the U.S. than they are. Because I'm imagining that thongs there are a shoe.
The visual is great.
And then back on the beach with the wind and rain in my face, I look up at the weather gods and shout, "What a disgrace! Like, how can you ruin his beach day?" So, like I said, it just perfectly describes. You get mad about little things, like the fact that you took the sun off the beach. You can't do that. So it's a very, very clever poem, and I see that it's a gold medal winner too. I really like it.
Yes. Yeah, agreed.
Hey, AP, a couple of words in here. Can you tell us what they mean? Getting chilblains?
Yes.
Blaine, what's that?
Chilblains are like blisters that you get when the skin gets too cold and but you basically end up with sort of burned and nasty skin. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. And there's another one. I guess that was it. I thought there was another word there. No.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And Hatter, I have a quote for you. You ready?
Quote.
I have a quote for you.
Yeah. Okay.
The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. As for the girls, they are forward, immodest, and unladylike in speech, behaviour, and dress. End quote. Question. When was that quote from, Hannah?
Oh.
When was that quote from?
Can you say it one more time? What the question will be.
The young people of today think of nothing but themselves. They have no reverence for parents or old age. They are impatient of all restraint. As for the girls, they are forward, immodest, and unladylike in speech, behavior, and dress.
1920s.
Okay. Yeah. Deb, when do you think that quote is from?
Well, the thing for me is I could sit here and each part of the quote took me to another place because, like, every generation says stuff like the young people of today think of nothing but themselves, and it's those same people that, that give you the, like, I walk uphill in the snow to get to school type of stuff. But... you know, I'm thinking that it's ancient, and it just works so well in every generation that it keeps pulling back out.
Okay. Well, Debbie would be right. That was a quote from Aristotle from 350 BC. Hannah?
Well, I think that's old.
Well, you know, Beethoven and Mozart were considered. Revolutionary in music back then. Their style of music was too fast. It was so much different than the scores before that were written. So they were considered the rock and hippies of the day. It also fits the quote. And I get this wrong, but I'm gonna say the best I can that our grandfathers worked hard so our fathers would have a better life, and they did. Our fathers worked hard so we would have a better life, and we did. And then we worked hard to possibly get our kids to have a better life, and now they're just entitled. They feel they're entitled. They don't appreciate. They don't know what work is. They don't see grandpa work hard. That fits in too. To where it goes. They say it goes in cycles. It goes in cycles. Ours would be the greatest generation to our parents, to us, and then to our kids. I'm not saying everybody falls into that. That mold. The more you look around, it's true. If you go beyond our parents, our grandparents, they were the ones that had to suffer and work the hardest. And you think about it, they had the depression. They had they were immigrants with nothing coming over to a new country, trying to make a living and everything that goes with that. They didn't have luxuries. And I mean luxuries like an indoor bathroom or running water. Yes. They had to. Your job was to haul water every day from the river or the creek back home. You didn't have a well. So it seems to me that it can very well be absolutely true that it goes in generations, like three generations at a time, and then the entitled ones, which I guess we're having some evidence of it now. They just feel entitled. They don't want to work for it. They want to hand out. Stands true. I think it's...
Well, I was going to reflect on a bit of that. I think it's interesting the big difference and the big thing that most people fail to recognize when they look back at what happened in the past is that the lifespan of people has doubled basically in the past 100 years. Everybody before the year 1900 basically were lucky to live up to 40, 45. And now our average lifespan is 75 or so. So it's quite different.
Well,
anyway, I have a poem from Joyce Kilmer called Old Poets for Robert Cortez Holliday. And it goes a little bit like this, and my thanks to Deb for choosing it. If I should live in a forest and sleep underneath a tree, no grove of impudent saplings would make a home for me. I'd go where the old oaks gather, serene and good and strong, and they would not sigh and tremble and vex me with a song. The pleasantest sort of poet who's old and wise, with an old white beard and wrinkles about his kind old eyes. For these young flippergibbets are rhyming their hours away. They won't be still like honest men and listen to what you say. The young poet screams forever about his sex and his soul. The old man listens and smokes his pipe and polishes its bowl. There should be a club for poets who have come to 70 year. They should sit in the great hall drinking red wine and golden beer. They would shuffle in of an evening, each one to his cushioned seat. And there would be mellowed talking and silence rich and sweet. There is no peace to be taken with poets who are young, for they worry about the wars to be fought and the songs that must be sung. But the old man knows that he's in his chair and that God's on his throne in the sky. So he sits by the fire in comfort and lets the world spin by. In poem. That's very neat, Deb. I liked it a lot, by the way. Great choice. Tell me why you chose that poem.
Well, you know, I had mentioned to you that I did some research on my grandfather, and I'll go over that more when I'm on Sweet Show, because that's where it came from.
Yeah.
But there's something about the fact that, you know, a lot of times you don't even get to have someone in your life long enough for them to be old, a poet or otherwise. And there's so much knowledge and, like, people don't listen. And there's something about the area that you look out and you just ignore the beautiful bird song or the scenery. Everything's rushed. And you know, by the time you start to appreciate that and sit back and just chill, might be one of the last things you do, and too many people don't. It's a beautiful flow. It's got great sentiment, and I've been feeling sentimental, so a little bit of all.
All good. All good. Works for me. That's brilliant. Thank you, Deb. Patty, did you bring a poem this week?
I was going to walk down the hall and go to the vault real quick. You know, one thing else that you were saying earlier, the life expectancy for men or women back in the day, and that's not that far back in history. You were also expected to lose half your children. We're not expected to survive through infancy or the childhood. That was a common thing. There was no antibiotics. It was a penicillin.
Yeah.
You got cut. You got hurt. You were gone. I mean, the flu, like in 1918 with the influenza of the East Coast, there were more people died of the flu than died in World War One.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Well, let me know when you've got that poem ready, Hatter. Meantime, it's Mother's Day, in Australia, Mother's Day here, and so I thought I would do a poem for Mother's Day because I'm very, very fortunate. I have a fantastic relationship with my mum, and I've been very fortunate, and this is a poem called More Than White Flowers, and it goes a little bit like this. Some see just as a chance to buy a card and a set of white blooms. A task kicked off without asking why, another celebration life resumes. Yet, this is a connection for me deep, each morning we speak on the phone, and it has a rhythm alive and sweet, as hands and a clock motion warm. We share what is coming ahead, what has swept by in a day past. That connection of a routine bled builds on the love of years past. With respect, voices listen in turn, each knowing by the tone of voice. Mother's Day, every day we learn, connection born. a divergence in point. So, roll the mothers out there. In Australia, very, very happy Mother's Day, even though it does mean that the coffee lines are ridiculous and I can't get to my favourite, your favourite, coffee shop Hatter because it's just full of people having morning Mother's Day coffees. So there is a downside.
Shame on them. Okay. We should have a booth just for you.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there you go. Deb, what did you think of that little piece?
I think it's gorgeous, and I think that the part where, yet this is a connection for me deep each morning we speak on the phone, and it has a rhythm alive and sweep as hands on a clock motions learn, and it just puts me in mind of the fact that I find that one of your most endearing qualities is the fact that you call your mom every day. And mama's boys impress me, and I believe you are a proud mama's boy, and it shows here. But it also has enough stuff in it that it can be to any mom anywhere on the planet. I think that it's a beautiful card. And we share what is coming ahead, what has swept by in days past, the connection of routine bled, built on love of years cast. I mean, it's just gorgeous. I'm sure she'll love hearing it.
And what did you think of this one? This one, I think I quite like this one. But anyway, just me.
I was sort of running down to the vault. I didn't get to read along.
No, that's okay. No, that's cool. That's cool. We will see what you have drawn out of the vault very shortly, Ada.
I got one. I don't think you guys will remember. You won't remember this one. You won't remember it.
Oh, there you go. And now I can see it up on the. I can see it, your palm up on the board. And thanks to Poeta who's listening along. Thanks for your comments on that little Mother's Day piece. So, now Hatta, did you want to read the one that you put on the board, which is Show Me How Do You Pray? Yeah?
I think I could do this one. I got my glasses.
Okay, fantastic. Okay. Well, if that's the case, we're in your hands.
Okay. It's called Show Me How Do You Pray. Show Me How Do You Pray. It goes like this. The hair swung a knife in a birthday cake fight. He says it leaves you the chin. Colored by rain, a dark purple stain, he says that I got in. Guest books are signed with your name, not mine. The pins are pinned to your roof. Remember that he's shadow in a broken Mad Hatter. It might not be who you think. Questions we ask as Alice can't see, counting the wishes that fall from the trees. Sitting around waiting to hear who brought the wine and who brought the beer. Wonderland waits for all that come late. The clock's tick backwards, they say. If you believe, fall to your knees. Show me how do you pray.
Now, Pat, I have to say, you're very quiet. We can just hear you.
Oh, my mic thing was up. Sorry. Sorry.
Yeah?
Why don't you read it again? Why don't you read it again if you couldn't hear it? You can hear it. I want to hear it.
Did you want me to read it, or did you want to have a go again?
Yes. No, you read it. I barely got through that one.
I'll read it? Okay. Well, let me give it a go.
Thank you.
It probably sounds different anyway, the accent and everything. And so this is Show Me How Do You Pray by Hatter. It goes a bit like this. The hare swung a knife in a birthday cake fight. He says it needed a trim. Coloured by rain, a dark purple stain. He says that's how he got in. Guest books are signed with your name and not mine. The pens are empty of ink. Remember who's sadder than a broken Mad Hatter. It may not be who you think. Questions be asked as Alice can't see. Counting the wishes that fall from the trees. Sitting around waiting to hear. Who bought the wine? Who bought the beer? Wonderland waits for all that come late. Their clocks tick backwards, they say. So if you believe, fall to your knees. Show me, how do you pray? In poem.
Thank you, AP.
Something like that. I do like the picture, and I like how it got you to have the hair swinging a knife and having the stain, and that it sort of started a sense of a train of thought had up from that first couplet, and to the point where you finished with that great line, "Show me how do you pray," which is about, you know, in other words, how do you put yourself together? What do you do, and what do you do about it? And they're all, you know, really good questions. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. Deb, what did you think?
Well, for one, I think when Hatter presented it, he said, "Let's see if you remember this." I remember this one because this one, I think it was one of my prompts. But it was because there was a sadness that you don't think of sadness when, or the Mad Hatter being sad when you think of something to do with Wonderland, but yet you did, sitting around waiting to hear who brought the wine and who brought the beer. Wonderland waits for all that come late. Their clocks tick backwards, they say. So if you believe, fall to your knees and show me how do you pray. It's like you forget how. So show me how do you pray. I like this one, Hatter.
Or people that are very vocal about there is no God. Why do you waste your time? You know, blah blah blah. They don't believe in high power, but they're the first ones to drop their knees and pray. I wonder who they pray to.
Well, I don't know.
I don't either. That's why I wrote that.
The thing is,
that was the thought.
But the thing is, you can't hold it against someone for not praying.
I didn't mean that to sound, you know, hold it against you
for praying just because they don't, type of thing. But that's not the way it ever is. Everybody always has something to say.
Yeah.
But it's a great poem.
Yeah, I didn't mean to be judgmental. It sounded judgmental. I didn't mean that
I'm not saying you are. I'm saying people as a general, if you don't think their way, no matter what it is, whether it be about praying or any subject, it's the my way or the highway mentality, and you can't, what's that cliche? Can't teach an old dog new tricks?
It truly is a miracle that we're here. Life is a miracle every day, every second.
Right. Well, when you figure out that you're perfect, you can come back and judge me. Otherwise, what's that? Bugger off?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's it. Good Australian. Good Australian phrase. Absolutely. Bugger off. Yeah, I like that phrase. Now, talking about Australians and talking about people who buggered off far too soon, about a year ago, we had a show for Alf Collier who sadly buggered off far too early. And I was going to read their poem, Whispering Goodbye, which was the last thing they wrote to put on the site. It goes a little bit like this. Terminal echoes from walls hitherto decorated in hope. Three syllables. Threshing the chaff of thoughts and suffocating tomorrows with the willful force of a rampant tornado, followed by the numbing days that simply swallows all nuance of emotion in a preponderance of calm. Days roll like an endless tide, new weakness bleeds internal strength of mind, siphons diminishing energies and internal battled rage. But the parade of my past comforts and entertains. In darkening shades of violence, in poem. And because it was the last thing that Alf put on site, And yeah, it's you know, I miss people like Alf. I miss people like Alf over there. Deb, what did you think?
It's still today pinned to my page. And it's just one of those poems that every now and then I go back to when I think about her. She was so brave to know what was happening.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, she had great innings. Don't feel bad for her. So I try not to. I think what it is that I feel bad for me because I don't get to interact anymore. But the poem...
Yeah.
The poem is incredible, and I had forgotten something, and I just saw the comment again and want to smack a person. I don't know. You see a poem, and you see the word terminal in quotes. What do you think it means? And what do you mean terminal here? The title is Spring Goodbye. So I didn't mean to get sidetracked, but this was for a contest called Beating Cancer, and it's a medal winner, but it's just a reminder of the inner strength, like I said, of being able to sit down and write something like this, knowing that each day might be the last one.
They knew the end was coming. They knew that this would be one of their last rites, and they still sat down and wrote it. And you know, I just think there's something you know, wonderfully strong, and you know, and at the same time, Deb, you know, it says absolutely everything about Kevin, our side owner. I'm going to say it. You don't have to. I'm going to say it. Because if he had any degree of sensitivity and insight into what was going on, into what the competition was about, you just wouldn't write a comment like he did. You know, he is one of, writing's about connection, writing's about emotion, writing's about relationships. He is one of the least impressive individuals when it comes to understanding people and connections, and hopeless, absolutely hopeless. Anyway, there you go. I'm going to say it. Said it. Did you want to do your poem next?
Sure. Let me grab it. Here we go. The board jumped a little because I just got a Happy Mother's Day message from Poeta. Thank you, Poeta.
Thank you, Poeta.
And this is called Mariposa Memories with Morning Coffee. And here we go. Neath cobalt skies as clear as crystals, dawn chaperones daylight for its debut. Marigold sunshine warms the solarium with sultry breezes whispering through. Earth's floral bouquet perfumes the wind with thistlebud beds colored pastel blue, as satin snapdragon petals bloom orange, enchanting mom's backyard garden view. Yellow finches chirp their bird songs for me, and indigo bunting flocks join the choir too. Now butterfly wings flutter upon approach, flapping wings tinted with a matching hue. They're hovering before the graceful landing, perching to sip the droplets of puddled dew. Then, once they've slurped the sweet nectar, the Mariposa sisters fly off and travel to you. And poem.
Yeah, isn't that lovely? It's a very, very pretty and delicate poem. Yeah, I just think there's something about the, you always do capture colour incredibly well, and just that sense of optimism and positiveness I really enjoyed. Hada, what did you think of Deb's piece?
Thank you.
Very heartfelt, very warm, fuzzy. Yeah, my mom wasn't much of a gardener, but my grandmother, the only grandparent I knew, she always wore dresses. She came from Belgium, escaped King Leopold back in the day, and she would get on her knees in her garden with a 13-inch Belgian bayonet and dig at bulbs. And it was quite the sight. When you said mom's garden, that's all I could think of was grandma. Put a smile on my face. There's nothing like grandma's garden. Of course, the bayonet wasn't too bad either. See what that W3.
Thank you, Hatter.
Thank you. And we are moving on down the list. And I was going to go for Old Town Gospel next, Deb. This was a poet that I read for the first time yesterday in the show with Liquid Damage. Was actually really good. So just putting their poem up now. This is a poem called Lights by Old Town Gospel, and it goes a little bit like this. Somewhere through the veil and deep beyond the blinds, there's a place that all of us can find deeper than our pain, yet brighter than our fears. Here in the black and white, where all colours disappear, somewhere we can see and leave all our sights. Deep beyond the blinds, I still see you there, deep inside the lights, paving the road. Your constellations bring me home, where we don't need to breathe, where lashes on our wrists are healed by a kiss deep inside our souls. That's where we both know that we can see the light, somewhere in the thin minds of what is right and wrong. When we're all alone, we can walk among the lights, knowing we belong, and leaving all our woes behind. I still see you there, deep inside the lights, paving the road. Your constellations bring me home, where we don't need to breathe, where lashes on our wrists are healed by a kiss. Don't go to sleep. Stay awake with me. Don't stay and weep. Let the lights be what you think. Just pick a star and spare, then I will see you there. In the poem. Shut up. What did you think of that poem?
I got to read that again. Sort of jumped in right after you had started, but this is very good. Put that on page. If I do that fears and breath away. Gotta go to Deb first. I gotta read this again.
Yeah, no, it's got a lot in it. Deb, what did you think? Mm-hmm. Hello, Deb. Deb, are you there?
Yeah, I was talking to the mute button. Deeper than our pain, yet brighter than our fears. Here in the black and white where all colors disappear. That part right there, to me, is just so sad, the thought of all color disappearing. And it was a very clever way to bring in emotion. Deep inside our souls that's where we both know that we can see the light, somewhere in the thin lines of what is right, wrong, and right. This is a very deep poem. Don't go to sleep. Stay awake with me. Don't stay and weep. Just let light be what you think. Just pick a star and swear that I will see you there. And that part, I've shared before, that my parents have a star, and that ending,
yes,
it got me. We did pick a star for them, so I do hope they met there. But no, this is a really awesome poem. And they had reached, Old Town Gospel had reached out to ask for how to send in permission and mention that you had asked to use the poem. And I thought that you obviously made their day, so I figured I'd mention that.
Ah, excellent. It's just a lovely sort of rhythm and cadence in the piece, and I think that it just really, really nice. So, okie dokie, I am heading to the next poem, Deb, because we've got about three to go, I think. And so I was going to do Jenny's next, and then Titus, and then finish with Lawrence, and go from there. So now, where are we? Here we go now. This is Jenny the Deep. And I'll just say, Jenny, obviously going through some challenges at the minute, and this is a poem that she's written called People Suck, Then You Die. It's a bit like this. I was privileged to have had you in my life when you came to us at the age of 9. I remember all the fun times we shared, like the zoo beach and how we grew to care. I told you my secret ingredient, the mac and cheese, if your taste buds were rather pleased. I thought I was helping you in the life and in school, but in reality for me, you were simply too cool. Yes, you told me to shut up even if in your sleep, but I never thought you'd hate for me ran so deep. I didn't see myself as an easeful stepmom, but at least now you have your real mum. What did she think? I think that's just a really horribly sad place to be and a terribly sad poem. But what did you think, Adam?
I would first say that I couldn't imagine being a step parent and having that be a reality in any way, shape, or form. You know, either say other than it is thought provoking, and it is deep, and it is hurt. It sounds like it's a scar.
Yeah.
It sounds like it is a scar.
Agreed. It does sound that way. Thanks, Ada. Deb, what did you think of Jenny's piece?
You know, it's a very emotional piece, and you think about it, she obviously has a stepson, and they shared a lifetime together, and then there must have been some kind of fallout. And
sometimes it's just growing up, just teenage. Sometimes it's teenage age. You know, sometimes she doesn't need to do anything because we won't.
Yeah, well, I was thinking that as sad as this is, I'm hoping that this her stepson, it says, at least now you have your real mom. I'm hoping it doesn't mean that he passed.
Yeah.
And I think that since I don't know, if it's sad enough if he, like, sort of turned his back on her and walked away, that can get better and turn back around and they can reconnect. But if it's because she lost him and she's just angry and emotional, and the only way she can get through is realizing that he still has his mom, or he has his mom now. But either way, it's a very powerful emotional poem.
It can be read either way. It can be thought of either way, yeah.
Yeah, not very true. A shout-out for our next poet. Titus has always supported our show with material and SoundClouds and comments along the way with the group. And I know he is unwell at the minute in hospital and had a pretty crummy week, really, in all things being equal. So, however, despite that, he's still gone and sent us a poem and a SoundCloud about poets of old, which sort of fits with a little bit of what we've been talking tonight. So hope you get well soon, Tony. This is your piece and your SoundCloud now.
Poets of
poets pass the classic sets. When poets' odes were few and far, how many tomes do still provide immortal worth? The moments are to feel the precious launch inside. And were the days that I do hold so precious few and far between, to own the style I have been told a classic touch was meant to mean. Who taught the words so very few didst leave to raise their spirits prove that verse the simple point of view will leave a heartfelt pledge to soothe.
Written small, almost an ode, really. It's actually the first poem in one of his books, but beautifully, just a smoothness. I love the backing track as well. Deb, what did you think of the poem by Titus?
It's an amazing brevity. By the way, I got a message that says, although he's still not feeling 100%, he is out of the hospital. That's fantastic.
Fantastic. Yeah, terrific. That's excellent.
And I like the line, immortal worth the moments are to feel the precious launch inside. I think that's a beautiful part. And at the end, who taught the words so very few did lift to raise their spirits prove. He writes like no one else, and I know we say that a lot, but it's because it's just true, and it is. It's like a pledge. It's like a, I think you said ode, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gorgeous brevity. Keep getting better, Tony.
Yeah, beautifully written. Yeah, absolutely. And Hada, did you want to say a few words on
the
piece by Titus?
Yeah, I'll say it then, Deb. He classes the place up.
Oh, we've had a problem, Deb. We seem to have dropped the line. Don't know what happened there. Anyway, we're sure how we'll come back very shortly. We've got a final poem to do, and that is by Lawrence 67. As you said, get well, Titus, too. We hope you're in good shape. At least you're out of hospital, which is something. This is a piece by Lawrence 67. This is the ongoing adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie, and it goes a little bit like this. Nigel, the best book I ever read was entitled The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and His Homie Alfie, and the reason is the best book is because Nigel is handsome, sexy and smart. Lauren 67, hey Nigel, you can't do that. Nigel, what are you talking about? What can't I do? Well, you can't shamelessly promote yourself in a contest. Why not? You do it all the time. But you're the main character in that adventure series and it's not a book. Well, not yet, because your lazy ass doesn't get us published like my cousin Garfield. That's not fair, Nigel. You know, I've got this bad back, and I had that thing to do. Bull car 67, you're always jerking us around, screwing up. Better watch it, Buff, or Nigel, Alfie, and company might hire a new writer. You can't do that. You're my imagination. Your imagination? Can your imagination do this? Slap, slap, poke. Ouch! Hey, stop doing that. That hurts. Oh, my eye. Can your imagination do this? Pow, blam, kaboom, for messing with us. Us? What's this us stuff? They didn't have nothing to do with all that. You better hope he has amnesia or something. It might be the adventures of Alfie and his own nobody. An end poem, thank God. Ding, ding, congratulations. You have won a bonus poem. Hey, Nigel. What, Alfie? Alfie, what you doing? I'm sleeping. Alfie, go away. Oh, hey, Nigel. What now, Alfie? Alfie, you should get more sleep. You're so riddleful. Some mother sucker end poem. I think I did that okay, Jeff. The symbols were hard. Just for the record, Lawrence. The symbols are hard. you don't know how the heck I'm meant to read that. Symbols excluded.
You know, every time I start to think of what I might say, and I say about how much fun I think he's having, it takes me back to that poem where he proved that he was listening to us by sort of imitating us. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
It's true. It just seems like these are so much fun. I can imagine him sitting there, and, you know, you see somebody, if they're good at writing humor, if you can't make yourself laugh, who are you going to make laugh? So I'm picturing this person sitting there making these conversations for us, and like, you always jerking us around, you're screwing up, better watch it, bub. And it tickles. It's funny. It's fun, and I really like when he sends these in. And I'm looking forward to the next one where says, and Deb still thinks it's fun.
not exactly. We've got a number of fantastic supporters on the show, and Florence is one of them, trusting us to read it. It's terrific. So before we finish up, Deb, did you want to say a few words about what's coming up on a team of voices?
Yeah, you know, I was just looking too. I guess Hatter's phone had an issue because he didn't dial back either.
No.
Okay, so let's see.
Anyway.
Tomorrow is, you know, I'm going to skip that because I don't know what the rain date was for last Sunday, so it might not be till next week. So I will say that on Monday.
Yeah.
10 p.m. You can hang out with me as we do the last color in my color series, and that is black. You choose your art, write whatever your little heart desires, and I can't wait to see where those beautiful pictures that I posted lead everyone. And then on Tuesday, which Sweet will be moving to Tuesday for a time, and so I'm assuming that that is when we will have the rain date from her show with the interviews. Who would you interview? If you could interview anyone in the whole world, living or not, real or not. And that will be at 10 p.m. I'm looking forward to that one. And then on Wednesday, between 8:30 and 9:30 start time, we have Volume 5 with Sky Darkholm. And it's for the Similarian, and these have been pretty cool because they've been pretty much tied to nature. So just remember that you don't have to write to a particular book.
No, it's got good quotes.
So that they usually are very, very interesting. And I will say that that's the next couple of days.
Perfect, Deb. Thank you. And so my thanks to yourself and Hatter for being along for the ride. My thanks to Poeta for being on the board and commenting as we've been going through. It's been great. My thanks to our consistent group of writers who provide us material, whether it's Jenny or whether it's Titus or whether it's Lawrence or whether it's the great group of people that support the show and mean that we have always a set of things to read. My thanks to everybody there. And we will be back for Open Poetry in a week's time, Deb. Hit us up on the board, put your poem there, and we'll make sure it's read.
Absolutely. And great show, AP.
Thanks, Deb. And thanks, everybody. And we will catch you same bat time, same bat channel next week. Happy Mother's Day to all of those mums who are listening and our appreciation for all you've done. And with that, we will close the show. Thank you, everybody. Talk soon. Bye, everybody.
Love and respect.
Bye. Bye.